Hi, this is Manuela, and welcome to the sixth episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. I'm going to start out with a quick story about what Andrew and I have not in common. Wait, hang on.
Yeah, that's
Okay,
true.
sorry. All right, so the thing about Andrew is that he does this thing where sometimes when we hang out in like groups of people and we have something planned for later, he has to go home and like take a minute and be alone for a second. And I just don't understand that because, as the extrovert that I am, being alone to me is being in a group of friends and just not talking for like 10 minutes. But Andrew is like, I have to go home and I need to just see how I feel about going out again. And that just doesn't make sense to me at all.
All right, Andrew here. Yeah, you need like downtime. You need like relax, like
No.
reflect on the day a little bit before you go to bed. Like you can't just like hang out with a group of people and then run home and then head to the pillow. You have to unwind.
No. No,
No.
the party never needs to end.
It's got to stop at some point.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the part of the show where we do a weekly recap. I will start us off.
All right. You
This
just take
past,
charge.
this past Friday was Good Friday, so
Praise the Lord.
went back to St. Louis, and my family has this tradition of not going to our home church for the Good Friday service. We go to my dad's friend's church,
Wow.
and it's in Town and Country, so that's like the fancy part of St. Louis.
Taking a road trip.
And I enjoy it because it's like we don't know anyone there, so it's like can focus more and you're not thinking about like who's this random person from my childhood that's like gonna put their hand on my shoulder or something.
Yikes, that happens at your church?
They mean well, they're very friendly.
Oh, that's funny.
So then it's like you can focus more, and that was nice. And then on Saturday my mom's family came over to celebrate Easter, and we played around a Wii Jeopardy, which is my game.
Classic.
I'm a big fan of Just Dance, but Wii Jeopardy is a close runner-up.
All right.
And then my aunt was giving some travel tips for the plane for going to East Asia. She was saying she likes to do like calisthenics in the back of the plane, and
That a drug?
no, like the aerobics kind of thing, like jumping jacks. And
Does jumping jacks on a plane?
yeah, she does. And she's like, yes,
I
sometimes the flight attendants don't like that.
The plane like goes crashing down.
Well, that's her middle name, so that's
Oh
fine.
my gosh, that's funny.
Margaret Mary.
Shout out to you, Margaret Mary.
And then she gave me a complimentary sleeping mask and earplugs for
Wow,
the
that is
plane.
literally so nice.
I know. It was Aunt Margaret coming in clutch.
Yeah, for
So
real.
then later.
You better not plan on sleeping that 13-hour trip that we're going to take together. Andrew.
We'll discuss that later. So then that night, my friend group back home, my high school friends, we call ourselves Denny's Squad because Denny's is where we would hang out. And so we ended up going to Denny's and we sat down, everyone ordered water, and we started to look over the menu. Someone tried to order onion rings, but apparently it's been discontinued, like off the menu, which is a Denny's staple. I
Weird.
understand how that even happens. And then we were talking, we're like, you know, like, well, actually, no, before that, we were like, wait a second, is anyone getting anything? And no one was going to order anything. So we all just got on water and no one was going to order any food. And there were seven of us. And so then someone's like, I don't really want to be here. And someone else was like, yeah, I'm kind of over Denny's. Because like they remodeled like 3 years ago and we had a corner booth that was like our booth. And like the night manager like knew to take us there and we were chummy with her first name basis.
Oh gosh.
So yeah, they remodeled, they took away our booth, the staff was completely different. And we're like, you know, I think this is where we part ways. And so it was kind of sad, but
So you guys aren't friends anymore?
with Denny's? No, not that. We part ways with Denny's, not each other.
I'm just
So yeah,
kidding.
the waitress came up and she's like, what are you guys getting? And we're like, we're just gonna leave you a tip and we're gonna leave. And so then we went to Ferguson Brewing Company, and that's our new
Wow.
hangout.
Upgrade. You guys are adults now.
You know, it's like the sixth season of Community when like the hangout place moves from like the study room in the community college to the random bar that wasn't in any of the other seasons.
Okay.
You know, okay. And just one final note for my weekly recap. I went to Target a few days ago. Your phone just plunged off
That's
the couch right
awesome.
there. But it's always weird. You know how, like, when you go to a store in a different city, like, it looks the same, but it's not the same?
That you don't even have to go to a different city. The neighborhood markets here in Springfield are all different.
I know. Well, and then also, like,
makes me so mad.
Just, like, it's weird because it's, like, things are in different places. Sometimes the entrance is in a different spot.
Or they just cut, like, all the aisles in half, and it's
it's
weird.
So it was kind of weird because it's like, oh, I'm at home.
That's it. Nobody ever tried anything new, ever.
What? I'm just saying it's nice because it's like it reminds you of the one like you go to all the time, but it's not right. So it's just kind of weird.
But, all right, I get you.
Yeah, that was.
Is that your week?
That was my week.
Nice. Sounds like a fun week. All right. So my week was pretty cool. I stayed in Springfield over the Easter holiday. Good Friday, went to church. Saturday, I went to Silver Dollar City and I got my season pass. So that was incredible. So if anyone else has a season pass, hit me up. Let's go to Silver Dollar City where dreams come true. And then Sunday was Easter and it was really fun. It was cool because I didn't get to go home to see my family, but then it just reminded me of the community within the church and how they are your family too. And so it was neat to just like see my friends at church and be like, oh, hi, like happy Easter. He's risen. And
nice.
So yeah, it was really nice because before, I don't know, I guess sometimes it's hard to find community in a big church, but I'm very lucky to have found it. So it made my holiday a little bit more enjoyable to know that I had friends at church.
Good.
And then, so a funny story that happened this week was that, you know how you get your packages delivered to my house?
Yeah.
Andrew gets his packages delivered to my house because apparently his apartment building is too hard for his mailman to figure out. And so the packages come to my house. And so we got a package yesterday and I texted Andrew and said, package. And he said, awesome, thanks. And I went to go get my other mail, brought it inside, laid it all out on the table. And then I realized that the bottom of the package was open. And I saw the words Waco. And I thought, that's really weird, like Waco, Texas. And so since the package was opened, I went ahead and pulled the book out of the package because the package was already open. So I just pulled the book out and I read the back of it. And it was this story of the Branch Davidian. Davidian?
Sure.
The cult that happened in Waco, Texas. And it was like about this guy that was a firsthand survivor of everything that happened there. And I was like reading the back of the book and I thought, oh my gosh, this sounds awesome. And I thought, why would Andrew buy this? Andrew's not interested in cults. And so I was really confused. But then I called Andrew and I said, hey, so the package was open when it got here. So I just went ahead and opened it and I saw this book and it looks awesome. And I was just wondering if I could borrow it sometime. And he goes, actually, that's your birthday present. Happy birthday. And I just laughed because, wow, what a good friend, you know? He knew what I wanted. He got it for me. Also, if you didn't know that it was delivered to my house. Also, if you didn't know my birthday's Friday, now you know, and you will be held accountable for knowing. So that was a really fun part of the week. And I started reading the book, and so far, so good.
Good.
I'm into it. And it has pictures, like real life pictures, which, you know, when you get older, you realize that your books come with less and less pictures. And it's kind of a sad moment because I like pictures.
Pictures are great.
So, yeah, finding out that the book had pictures was pretty great. And then I hung out with some friends earlier today that I haven't seen in a while. So that was good. Just a normal day, a normal week, I guess, going to work every day. One of the kids gave me a little Easter bunny. It was so nice of him. He just said, for Easter. And I said, well, thank you. So that was my week.
Nice.
All right. So let's move on to our next discussion or segment. We have our friend Zeke here with us, and he's going to talk to us about Hamilton, the play or the person.
The musical, actually.
Oh, my bad.
There we go.
All right, Zeke, tell us what you know.
Oh, man. I know a lot of things. So I'll just kind of... So Hamilton is a Broadway musical. It's relatively new. So it premiered on January 20th of 2015. So it's only like 3 years old. And so it's by this guy named Lin-Manuel Miranda. And so the story is, it's kind of crazy. He took this book. I've got it with me. It's this 800-page biography about Alexander Hamilton, the founding father, and he took it with him on vacation as light reading.
Oh gosh!
And he started.
Sounds like something Zeke would do.
That is not something I would do, actually. I don't read as much as I would like to. Anyway, so he took it on him, took it with him on this vacation to Mexico, and he started reading it, and he realized that he needed to do something with this person, and like. So originally his idea was that he like loves hip hop. He's a huge hip hop nerd. And so he was going to make a mixtape about it. Huh. But then as he started like kind of looking into that, he was collaborating with some people and they realized that they could turn it into a whole musical. Wow. And so Lin-Manuel had, I think, written a Broadway show before called In the Heights. It wasn't super well known. It wasn't as famous as Hamilton is now. But he kind of wrote and started that. And so he had a background in Broadway, of course. And so he started doing that. And so one of the things that's like super noteworthy is it's about like Alexander Hamilton, who was a founding father. And so it goes through a lot of his life and like the founding of America. And all of the main characters are portrayed by people of color. And so you have like,
oh, cool.
Not Abraham Lincoln. Why did I say
it's
that?
It's a little bit advanced.
He's not, it doesn't go that far. George Washington, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr are all played by like black men. And there's like lots of Hispanic actors and actresses as well. And on the original Broadway cast, there was, I think, a Korean, Philippa Sue. I think she's Korean.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wait, is Philippa Sue her name or her ethnicity?
That's the actress's name.
Oh, okay. Just making
she
sure.
She plays Eliza Hamilton. But so it's super...
Who's Eliza Hamilton?
Alexander Hamilton's wife.
Okay.
So yeah, you've probably never heard of her. And there's a lot of people in his life that we hadn't really... That weren't really in the public eye as much or in the popular history of like the founding of America that this show has really... brought to light a lot. So it's like crazy. It set a record for the most Tonys. So the Tony is like the Oscar, but for Broadway. It set the record by getting 16 Tony nominations and it won 11.
Wow.
I don't know what the record is for wins, but I don't know that it won that record. But
I mean, I don't have 11 Tonys.
Yeah.
Man.
It won a Grammy for the Best Musical Theater Album.
Wow.
And it won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. So huge, like, well-awarded show. And so kind of I got introduced to Hamilton by a friend a couple years ago, probably really shortly after it came out. I had never heard of it, and I just got played one of the songs. And kind of went and started listening to it and, you know, listening to it during drives in the car, during long drives. It's a really long soundtrack. It's like 2.5 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Can you play some of it for us?
Yeah. So I'll play you a snippet of the very first song in the show. So it's called Alexander Hamilton.
How does a bastard, orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean, by providence impoverished and squalor, grow up to be a hero and a scholar? The $10 founding father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder, by being a lot smarter, by being a self-starter. By 14 they placed him in charge of a trading charter. And
so that's kind of like the first 30 seconds of the whole show. It's super cool. There's like the whole first song is just kind of introducing Well, it introduces, like, the overall picture of the show and in, like, the first act a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do kind of a similar thing in the first, in the second act to kind of introduce the second act. And so, yeah, so I was introduced to it. I really started to like it. And then this past fall when I was looking at registering for classes, I saw that it was an option for me to take this class about Hamilton for my senior honor seminar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
And so I saw that and it like fit perfectly into my schedule. And I was like super excited. And so I'm taking that class right now.
Cool.
I had to buy this book. So
have you read the whole book?
Not yet. I'm in like page 500 something.
Wait, are there pictures in it?
There's some pictures
nice.
In the middle of like some of the people in
oh,
the book
cool.
that... So obviously some like people have heard of like Thomas Jefferson.
Tom Jeff, what's up?
And then there's, like, James Madison and John Jay. But there's, like, Eliza Hamilton.
Oh, cool.
And there's Marquis de Lafayette. He looks really funny.
Okay, so what's this big book that I see?
So, yeah, there's this other book. I got this for Christmas 2 years ago. And so it's called Hamilton, the Revolution. Yeah, it got a little wet when it rained the other day in my backpack. So I just have some paper on it. But it's just this awesome book that has lots of pictures. So that's like the Broadway cast. It has lots of pictures, and it has some chapters, some writing about the musical, and like the making behind the scenes type of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got all of the lyrics to the show.
Oh, wow.
With like notes, which is
super
cool.
You're an orphan.
Cool.
Sorry.
Yeah. And so...
Relatable.
No, totally fine. Oh, no.
But so it's super cool to be able to, you know, when you've only listened to the show and not seen it.
Oh, yeah, that's super cool.
It's super cool. There's like full page pictures, and there's lots of like, there's like pictures of Lin-Manuel's notes of like during the process of him writing it. And so it's super cool. We're kind of going through this as well. So it's kind of cool to have a book for a class that I'd already owned.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's kind of like, I felt like a nerd.
Yeah. You're so prepared.
But yeah, it's
you're
just
rubbing
really...
all those other nerds' faces.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few people in the class who had never heard of it before. There's a few of us who...
Oh, wow.
There's a few people who had seen the show, which is crazy. Because, like, if you want to see it on Broadway, it can... It's like... It can... You can spend $500 to $1,000 on the tickets. But yeah, we're talking... Just in the class, we, like, are reading through it and talking a lot about... there's a lot of discussion about like what the musical does. Like a lot of people say, oh, this is revolutionary because it uses people of color, to show the founding. And, so like the guy who plays Thomas Jefferson said that like, if he would have, you know, seen George Washington as a black man, he may have had higher aspirations in life. So things like that, to be able to like see historical important figures in our nation portrayed, you know, for people of color, to have those people portrayed by people that look like them, can be really powerful. And there's a lot of other things about it that are controversial, and like historians don't necessarily like it that much because it like they think it pretends to be really historically accurate when it's not entirely historically accurate. But it is like for a musical, for a work of art and drama, for Broadway, for so popular, it's actually pretty accurate.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah, and there's a lot of things about it. Like, I didn't know how influential Alexander Hamilton was to the formation of the United States government.
Hmm.
Like, he's probably one of the top three.
Wow.
Of, like, the formation of the government. And so, yeah. So I'm actually super excited because my professor for that class is found, like, $1,500 to... be able to help us buy tickets to go see it in St. Louis.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I get to go see it in St. Louis on Sunday.
And cool.
I'm super pumped.
That'll be so awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, how amazing.
Yeah, so just to be able to see, like, I know, like, every word to the musical for the most part, and it's going to be really hard to not sing along with it during the performance and just to enjoy it. But I'm super excited to actually see it come to life.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
So
any questions?
Are there any songs that are based off of like documents like the Federalist Papers or like the
I'm trying to think. Yeah, they talk about the Federalist Papers. They're, the end of the first act has this super cool moment where it's basically, you know, the plan was to only write like 25, I think, Federalist essays. And so they're supposed to, like, be divided evenly between three people, John Jay, James Madison, and Hamilton. And, like, John Jay got sick and only wrote, like, four or five.
Slacker. It's always
Madison,
a slacker in the group.
Madison wrote some, and then Hamilton ended up writing, like, almost 50.
There's always an overachiever, too.
Or there's, like, a demand.
Yeah, because he just really felt, and that's kind of part of the show is just he's this, like, has this... almost like compulsion to just like write and to explain the for that to like to defend the Constitution. Cause he just saw it as like, this is what we need to do. We need to have unity. We need to like all come together as one country. And so he saw the Constitution as the best bet to do that. And so he just would always, anytime he believed in anything, he just threw his whole being, all of his energy and writing into into whatever he was trying to defend. And so there's also a lot of moments in shows. So I never knew this before the show, but he had an affair, like the first government affair. And so he I don't want to explain it, but he ends up confessing to the affair by writing about it and publishing a pamphlet, because to try to cover his tracks with some other accusations that weren't true. And so he confesses to that publicly, and there's some lines from that that are like directly from the show. There's some direct quotations from Washington's farewell address that are super cool. And so, yeah, there's some quotes that are directly from primary documents. So, yeah.
Nice.
Super cool. Other questions? Any other questions?
Do you have any, like, fun facts about Hamilton or, like, the play or anything like that?
I don't know.
Or another question, who's your favorite character and why?
Oh, there you go.
Ooh. Man, there's this guy called Hercules Mulligan, historical figure. He was a tailor's apprentice, maybe. I don't know if he was ever a full-fledged tailor. But anyway, he was, during the Revolution, he was a tailor, and he worked for a Tory, which is like the Loyalists' tailor shop. And so the British officers would come in to get like clothes tailored, and he was a spy for the Revolution. So he would listen to them as they were talking to each other, as he was taking their measurements and making their clothes. And so then he would relay that info to George Washington to help the war. And so he's kind of based on Busta Rhymes. A lot of the characters are based on real life, like hip hop artists. And so he's based on Busta Rhymes. So he kind of has these like moments where he's this big, big guy, and he kind of comes out and like has kind of this gravelly voice. And so he's super cool. I really am a big fan. I could maybe play a section, but I don't have it pulled up. So we don't want to go find it.
Nice.
I'll show you guys after. So probably Hercules Mulligan. And that's just such a cool name too.
All right. Well, if there's one thing you want the world to know about Hamilton, what would it be?
There's so many things.
Okay, we'll pick one.
One thing I want the world to know about Hamilton. I mean, I guess this, I don't know if this counts, but like, go listen to it. It's on Spotify, or just look good. It up on YouTube. Like, just go listen to it. You'll learn a lot about U.S. history. You'll learn about a lot about a founding father that like maybe the only thing you knew about him was that he's on the $10 bill, that he was the Treasury Secretary, and that he was killed in a duel.
Wow.
But yeah, Aaron Burr killed him in a duel. Aaron Burr was the vice president when that happened. And so, but yeah. But go listen to the musical. You learn a lot about history, and it's super cool.
Great. Nice. Thanks. I feel like I learned a whole lot about Alexander Hamilton. If you want to know more, hit up Zeke. I'm sure he always loves to talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's the end of that segment. So thanks, Zeke, for joining us. And, yeah. Well, he's sticking around because he's also going to be on our drink segment.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and pass out the cups as we go into our next segment here.
What are we drinking today?
We are drinking Larry's Latest Sour Ale. Kettled soured ale with a dry hop bursty. Burst. Sorry. It looks like there was a Y.
Disgusting. Let's be real.
You know what? I've heard that like sour ales are in nowadays.
Okay, well, we'll have to see if it's good. So, is this for me? Okay.
See, you're feeling this is going to taste cups.
Just like the one I brought on the episode that got cut?
We don't talk about that
didn't
episode.
Happen.
Give away all of our secrets.
It's okay.
All right, so let's cheers.
Right. Cheers.
Oh, these are lame because they're plastic cups. So. Whatever.
Well, Noella just made a real bad face.
It's sour.
Yeah, it is.
At least it knows what it is.
That's so true.
Steely. Tangy. Medicinal.
All right, so the name Larry's Latest is a nod to the spirit of innovation and experimentation that Larry started in 1985 and continues within the brewery to this day. Our latest sour recipe has a refreshingly bright, citrusy tartness combined with the pungent tropical aromas.
Wait, why is a cucumber independent making beer?
Craft.
Oh.
Oh, like Larry the Cucumber.
That's I can do that.
You can make beer?
No, I can make that sound effect if you wanted.
Okay, do it.
Let me take a sip. Home.
Oh no, I thought you were gonna make the like
There we go. You gotta do the whole thing.
Oh, I didn't even hear that part, my bad. No, Andrew, what do you think besides whatever you said the first time?
Actually it's not that bad. I would drink again probably.
Yeah.
I would not. Like I like tart things, but not this is like too much.
Yeah,
it's too sour.
Yeah.
And it's carbonated. Mm. So I like don't really know like what's going on in my body right now because I can feel it's like hurting. It's like hurting me as it goes down.
Hmm. Yeah. I feel like this would be best to drink like in the summertime when it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would I think like onion rings I'm feeling. Like eating some onion rings.
I can see that.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think like what it would be good to drink while eating. But I do like this more than like a pale ale because it like goes all the way. Because
it's sour.
It goes all the way. It gives you that sourness.
It goes all the way.
Hoppiness. The hoppiness.
It does what a pale ale could never do.
That's true.
All right. Yes. Well,
I give that a
thumbs up.
Okay, moving on. You can have the rest of mine. Okay, so on to our pop culture segment, Andrew.
Solid. Am I going first?
I mean, you can.
Okay.
Ladies first. Just kidding, sorry.
How rude. All right, so I am doing mine over Scooby Natural, which if you haven't heard, it's the Supernatural crossover episode with Scooby-Doo. It aired last week, I believe. And basically, the premise of the episode is there's these two guys named Sam and Dean who hunt demons and ghosts on the regular. It's live action, and they get this TV that's like haunted or whatever, and they like sit down to watch Scooby-Doo, and then it like sucks them in. And so they when they get sucked in, they're like, wait, we're like two-dimensional cartoons, what's going on? And then like they're driving around because somehow their car ends up in the TV as well, and then they pull up to a malt shop and the Mystery Machine's there, and then Scooby-Doo and the gang are there. So it's like this awesome crossover episode, and then it gets better. It's not just, like, them with the Scooby gang. Like, they're an actual episode.
Wait, was it animated or real life?
It starts out real life, and then they get sucked into the TV, and then they become two-dimensional cartoon characters.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So, basically, they, like, get sucked into the episode. What is it? A Night of Fright is No Delight from Season 1 of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And it's really funny because they play off of just how like generic and unbiased the personalities of the Scooby gang are, like in the original television series. Like if you've watched all the different television series, like as just like cartoons and animation in general has become more developed, there's a lot less time involved with like drawing things and like trying to integrate dialogue. So it's like just kind of the bare minimum. Like whenever people talk, it's like very relevant to the plot. There's like no like side humor or anything, unless it's like very intentional humor. And so it's funny seeing these like two guys interact with these like almost kind of one-dimensional or two-dimensional in personality individuals.
I don't know, you're the one who writes notes.
I know, I'm trying to read my chicken scratch here. Oh yes, complaints. So if you haven't watched it yet, skip ahead like a minute because I'm about to rant about a few things.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
A whole minute?
It might be more than a minute.
Oh, gosh. Okay, keep it to a minute.
It's the episode A Night of Fright is No Delight, but that episode, it specifically takes place on an island with a three-story haunted house. But in this episode, they drive up to the house. So there's a continuity error right there. And then, in addition to that, there's, like, a cavern underneath the house in the original episode, and that wasn't there. Velma, for some reason, they decide to make her very hormonal. Like, it's like, calm down, people. Like,
is that, like, sexist?
No, like,
Okay, so yes.
The word I'm looking for is horny, but I can't think of, like... No, I literally Googled synonyms for horny before coming on because I did not want to use that word, and there were no good words. There's no good words. It was like lustuous, or I don't know. So
oh,
anyway,
that's funny.
So yeah, she had the hots for one of the guys.
Let me out of here.
Oh,
no,
yikes.
That's basically what the guy that she was flirting with
oh,
was doing.
Awkward.
Anyway, there was a brief instance in the episode where one of the characters is giving the Scooby Gang a pep talk. He's like, "You guys defeated this ghost and captured this guy. You guys know what you're doing." And he lists about like 7 guys, but one of them is Old Iron Face, and another is Mamba Wamba, who they did not encounter yet at this point in time. And the Scooby Gang were just nodding their heads like, "Oh yeah, we did defeat those guys. We caught those crooks, but it didn't happen yet." So that's another continuity error.
Oh my gosh, and how then, dare they?
I know, it's awful. And then just to leave it off with this, the voice actress for Velma, I don't like her. Kate Micucci, not a fan. I'm sorry. She's been on for like the past 3 years, like the latest Scooby-Doo television series. And she's just got like this kind of like nerdy, kind of tone of voice. Whereas the original Velma, she didn't. It was just like a high-pitched, kind of squeaky voice.
Okay.
So whoever's in charge of orchestrating the voice actors and actresses at Warner Brothers, you got to get your act together because it's not...
That's not what I thought it would be.
It's not cutting it. So, yeah. Do you have any comments?
Rude. No.
I would recommend it to you, but you have to like watch actual Scooby-Doo first. Like, this is kind of like... You have to like enjoy the original television series and then like see this and it's like, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think like, that's my really problem. Great. I don't really enjoy the original television series.
We're going to fix that though.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll fix it.
We'll see what happens.
We'll fix it. All right, you go.
Okay. Well, I was going to talk a little bit about the movie that we saw on Sunday called I, Tonya. It was really good. It was about a girl named Tonya who was a figure skater. She was
Tonya Harding.
She was on the Olympic team. And then her career got destroyed by her husband, who was just not a great man.
Because she took out Nancy Kerrigan's knee.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. So I thought it was a really good movie. I really liked all the actors in it. I liked the storyline. I liked everything, really. The music, the colors.
What would you rate it?
I would rate it probably like a B. I kind of wish it was longer because it was an autobiography.
Or is it just a biography? Like a biography.
It was a biography kind of in the form of a documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really was interested and I felt like I was a part of her life. I felt like a part of her emotions and stuff like that. So I was really into it. And when it ended, I was like, oh, man.
So I really liked it. Like, I would give it an A-.
Oh, wow.
Because I like
movies.
See,
I'm afraid to give things A's.
No, so I use my A's sparingly, I feel like. But I just, I really like biographic movies. Biographical, I don't know. And especially movies that, like, take place somewhere in between the 60s and the 90s. Because it's like, it's like history, but it's recent history.
Yeah.
And I enjoy like how the studio has to recreate like when they were driving through the neighborhood, they had to make sure all the cars were from that certain time period. Biopic, thank you, Zeke. and or like on the ice rink, like they had a TWA like sponsor thing like on the mm-hmm. side of the rink, and it's like that's 90s right there.
Yeah.
Also, she was 23 when all that stuff happened to her.
That's like almost my age. And by almost, I mean 2 more days and then I'm 23.
But can you imagine like being like in a rocky relationship, married, divorced, with like the world watching you, like being the best figure skater in the world apparently, and
I
then
would crack.
Everyone thinks you like took out this girl's knee, but really you're like, I didn't know about it. I'm just married to the guy that organized it.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. If I was that good at something at the age of 23, I would not be doing this podcast right now.
Man, oh man. Maybe this podcast is what
you're Oh, that's
good.
True. Maybe this is what I'm good at.
This is where you
All right, we're looking discovered. For sponsors.
TWA.
All right. Do you have more to say?
No, I do not. You are good to go.
Okay, let's go ahead and do the quote jar since we're kind of running low on time here.
All right.
I hope you pick one of my quotes.
I did. Wait, you should read it to me.
Okay. My goal is to end up... Oh, wait, you kind of... Okay. My goal is to end up in the quote jar, Sebastian Sebev, quote, Michael Scott. Is it real or fake?
Real.
Yes.
Also, it's real person or fictional.
Both? Right? It's...
No, no, I mean, like, when we do the...
Oh, yeah. See, I know always, Michael Scott is fictional.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, quote, my goal is to end up in the quote jar, end quote, Sebastian Sebev, quoted by Michael Scott.
You guys.
You know, we love The Office. He's going to be so happy. Shout out to Sebastian, because he's one of our loyal listeners.
And shout out to my friend Andrea, who's listening to this while working.
Oh, did you know we also have a fan base in East Asia?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're really going
spreading
places.
Spreading our wings.
We are. All right, well, we are coming to the end of our show. And, yeah, that's kind of all that we have.
Closing music? Do we have closing music?
I don't know. Do we have closing music?
I guess we don't, but that's fine. Oh, no, we do. Hey, filler.
If you have any birthday presents you want to send, they could be sent to 1128 East Walnut Street, Springfield, Missouri, 65806.
Also, what about that pumpkin?
Oh, yeah, we still need to do something with the pumpkin.
What did the people vote?
I heard a really good recipe for pumpkin bread.
Well, we're gone. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuela Lenz and Andrew Minky. Special thanks to our guest tonight, Z Call. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is recorded in the Little Darks.